I recently got a message from a reader who said, "I don't know if it's meditation or you reaching a new level professionally, but I feel like your writing is on fire." I do feel my writing has improved over the last year. They're right to think the meditation I talked about on episode 246 has helped. If I had to pick one thing that has improved my writing, it's got to be starting to use the Zettelkasten method, which I talked about in episode 250. But I wouldn't be able to manage my Zettelkasten if it weren't for a recent breakthrough in how physically I write. It wouldn't be possible without my new low EMF computing setup. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. On episode 206, I talked about evidence suggesting non-ionizing EMFs or electromagnetic fields may cause health problems. EMFs are emitted by electronic devices such as smartphones, tablets, and computers. Even the electricity these items run on emits EMFs. And I'm cautious to use the term radiation since, as the irrationally rational are always quick to point out, it is non-ionizing radiation, but it is radiation. When I learned about these potential health effects, I started to look more closely at my day-to-day exposure, and what I discovered through trial and error has changed the way I use electronics, and it has improved my well-being and thus the clarity of my thoughts and the clarity of my writing. I'll preface this with a couple things. One is that I have long struggled with a mysterious illness. I won't go too far into details here, but my worst symptoms are chronic muscle tension, brain fog, and a wide breadth of food sensitivities. One doctor thinks it's chronic Lyme disease, and I'm one of the unlucky people highly sensitive to the contents of amalgam fillings, as I've been responding very well to replacing my fillings and following a heavy metal chelation protocol. Now, everything I just said is controversial in traditional medicine, and I remain open-minded about the true sources of my suffering, but the fact remains I'm one person living in this body for what remains of this life, and I can't wait for definitive answers when it comes to treatment and management, especially when all traditional avenues have repeatedly failed me. But I mention these things to say that also, your mileage may vary. You may have zero sensitivities to EMFs, and you may deem the potential health risks worth the benefits. I'm not here to convince you that I am sensitive to EMFs, nor that you are sensitive to EMFs. I'm only here to share what I really wish that I had known years ago. So I'm about 95% sure that I have electromagnetic hypersensitivity, or EHS. Now, this, once again, is very controversial in the medical establishment. Some say this is totally a thing. Others say it is all in my head. Governments such as France and parts of Sweden recognize EHS as a disability, but the World Health Organization does not recognize EHS as a medical condition, despite the fact that a former head of WHO claims to suffer from EHS. The WHO suggests, in addition to searching for other root causes such as noise or flickering lights, cognitive behavioral therapy. Still, as much as 10% of a population have reported they suffer from EHS. Well, I've done plenty of therapy, done a ton of meditation. I have pushed the edges of self-control and self-knowledge in emotional, behavioral, and dietary interventions. I have systematized, tracked diets and symptoms, trying to reduce noise and find patterns. I'm an active student of the many biases and errors of observation that can cause one to fool oneself. And still, I have found that reducing my exposure to certain bands of EMFs has been one of the biggest breakthroughs that I've ever had in my health struggle. So I can't be 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure about anything, but I'm sure enough that I've changed how I use technology, and I feel much better since I've done so. Now, when I started trying to reduce my exposure to EMFs in my daily computing, I was thinking only of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and LTE. I started using a wired Ethernet connection at home instead of Wi-Fi whenever possible. I reduced my use of Bluetooth devices. I felt better, but it wasn't a dramatic improvement. Then I noticed something strange. I noticed that on my iPad, I could write for hours. On my computer, I found that I quickly got fatigued. I had long used a program on my computer, which reminded me to take a break every hour. And it always happened that whenever that reminder came, I was already having trouble concentrating. Now, I didn't have that program on my iPad, and I found that I didn't need it. I got fatigued way less often on my iPad. So I got a wired external keyboard, and I distanced myself from my computer, thinking maybe my fatigue has something to do with being close to the computer itself. Again, I saw an improvement, but whenever I returned after a break, I could feel the muscles in my chest twitch and tighten. I could feel my breath shorten. And even far away from my computer on a wired keyboard, I needed to limit my computer use and take really long breaks. So I tried to do as much as I could do on my iPad instead. But strangely, I had to use a lightweight keyboard to use my iPad without having symptoms. If I did hook up my heavy-duty keyboard to my iPad, I found that I soon had the same muscle tension and shortness of breath. So it wasn't until I distanced myself from anything physically connected to the computer that I could use it for hours without fatigue and trouble concentrating. Now, surprisingly, this meant using a wireless trackpad and a wireless keyboard. That's right, Bluetooth. When I finally bought a meter, I realized that in the electric field band, we're talking AC power, about 60 hertz, my computer emitted way more EMFs than my iPad. My wired keyboard, I had carefully selected, also emitted high EMFs in this band when connected to my computer, and this same keyboard emitted high EMFs even when connected to my iPad, which really helped explain why I had symptoms when using it with my iPad. So based on my personal experimentation, I'm not terribly sensitive to Bluetooth, nor Wi-Fi, nor LTE. I think I'm a little sensitive to all of those things, but it's nothing like when I'm exposed to 60 hertz radiation. That is when my symptoms are at their worst. So I optimized my EMF exposure more to be able to actually work than to avoid health effects. Bluetooth and Wi-Fi are possibly not good for you. Then again, maybe they'll make no long-term difference to your health. I just avoid unnecessary exposure when practical, but I am mostly concerned with just being able to work. If you suspect you are EHS, keep an open mind about which bands of EMF specifically you are sensitive to. I feel better when I reduce exposure to 60 hertz. I've met other people who say Bluetooth and Wi-Fi are their nemeses. For others, it's LTE. Others are sensitive to the new 5G technology, and I can't believe I have to say this, but please, please do not lump EHS sufferers in with 5G conspiracy theorists. We're not the same thing. So after I discovered I was sensitive to electricity, it made sense why I needed to take such frequent breaks when using my laptop, but not so much with my iPad. It also made a lot of sense why I had just naturally gravitated toward things like writing on an Alpha Smart or on a typewriter. At first, I thought that my improved concentration on any of these devices had to do with the lack of ease with which I could access other information, which would affect my propensity to think about other information, the characteristics that I called slippy and grippy on episode 230. Now, I posit that this does affect my stress response and thus my symptoms, but I don't think it explains the drastic differences in my symptoms across these devices. So, your mileage may vary, but here finally is my low EMF computing setup. I keep my laptop a few feet away from me at all times. Yes, this means that I never use my laptop as a laptop, and I use an external display. Now, you may wonder, why don't I just get a Mac Mini or a desktop computer? And I'll explain why in a bit. I experimented with keeping my laptop several feet away in a closet and considered constructing an EMF blocking enclosure for it, which would be called a Faraday cage. This would be nice, but since Bluetooth is my best option for peripherals, a few feet away provides the best mix of lower EMF exposure and somewhat reliable connectivity for my keyboard and trackpad. The only times I've used my laptop as a portable computer over the past coronavirus year has been to take it into my recording studio where I'm recording things like this. I still try to stay as far away from a computer as possible, but in these cases I'm using the screen on the laptop and EMFs are being emitted by my microphone. So the time that I can spend recording is a little limited before my thinking starts to get cloudy. If I get to that point, it really takes time to recover. My laptop emits less electric field radiation when running off battery power, so I use battery power on my laptop whenever possible. I keep my laptop plugged into an AC power switch. In this way, it is plugged in but not pulling power because the switch is in the off position. Now, for reasons that I don't understand, I have found through testing that my laptop emits a weaker EMF in this way. Perhaps this grounds it. When I'm low on battery power, or when I'm leaving my office for a while, I switch the power on to recharge the battery on my laptop. Anything that is connected to AC power emits an electric field. Even dormant outlets themselves emit one. Peripherals connected to the laptop also emit this radiation. When I use battery power, that lowers the power of the electric field emitted by my laptop and by any peripherals connected to it, such as my monitor, a webcam, or a microphone. There is still some, but it is lower. And that is why I do not have a desktop computer. It is better for me to run on battery power. I use an external monitor attached to my laptop. I don't use my laptop screen at all. I point the laptop screen away from me so it doesn't distract me. It's quite far away, in fact. I wish I could operate my laptop with an external monitor and the laptop closed, but on my laptop, this only works when it is connected to AC power, and that, of course, would greatly increase the power of the electric fields, the computer, and all peripherals emitted. I have not experimented with different monitors to find which ones emit less radiation. I just bought the cheapest and smallest monitor that I could find. The monitor has to be connected to AC power to operate, but the radiation emitted is lower when the laptop is running off battery power as radiation travels through the HDMI cable, believe it or not. I suppose I could get a large tablet and use that as an external monitor with battery power, perhaps even connected through AirPlay. I have not experimented with that yet. As I say this, it does seem clearly like it would be a better idea. I have a rolling overbed table, which I bought to write on while laid back in my recliner. I now also use this overbed table to keep my distance from my monitor when at my computer. Since my monitor is connected to AC power, it emits a lot of 60 Hz radiation, and I notice if I get too close. So I keep my keyboard and my trackpad on this overbed table. Since I stay back a few feet, I've adjusted my display settings to display things larger. Again, being so far from my display probably wouldn't be necessary if I used a large tablet on battery power as my monitor instead. I don't feel sensitive to my iPad when I ride on it from quite close. It emits very little radiation. Larger tablets probably emit more, though in comparison, it is probably negligible. The first keyboard I tried was a mechanical IKBC CD87 version 2 based upon another article on low EMF computing. This article had said that mechanical keyboards emit less radiation. I now realize it didn't specify what band of radiation. I still developed muscle tension, fatigue, and brain fog when using this keyboard far from my computer and even when connected to my iPad, as I mentioned earlier. I experimented with using, on my computer, the portable keyboard that I normally use with my iPad in Bluetooth mode. It was a big improvement, and this was when I realized I was not nearly as sensitive to Bluetooth radiation as I am to AC power. So I set out to find a nice Bluetooth keyboard, and I decided on the Mistel Barocco MD770, which is a mechanical split keyboard with both Bluetooth and wired capability, and I went for the extra clicky Cherry MX Blue switches. Like any Bluetooth keyboard I've used, its connection is flaky at times, especially since I use it several feet from my laptop. But for the first time in years, I can finally work on my computer for hours with very little fatigue, and it has been a huge breakthrough. For mousing, I use a Bluetooth Magic Trackpad 2. In the beginning of my low EMF computing quest, I was using this wired to my laptop, and once I realized AC power was my biggest culprit, I switched to Bluetooth, which was an improvement. Now, however, I do wire the trackpad to my iPad, and there it's not a problem. The EMF meter that I use to optimize my low EMF computing setup is the Meterk, which is like meter with a K at the end. It's very cheap. It's only about $35. And it only measures electric fields and magnetic fields, so not Bluetooth, nor Wi-Fi, nor radio frequencies. AC power is what I'm most sensitive to, so I'm satisfied with how this meter helps me manage that exposure. Now, anyone sensitive to other bands will want to get a meter that measures the offending bands. Many people like the tri-field. Then again, I'm not entirely sure that what's measured by a meter in a particular band directly translates into the effects that those EMFs are going to have on the cells in one's body, which are quite complex. This could be part of why scientists are having so much trouble agreeing on whether EHS even exists. Really, there's nothing better than experimenting until you come up with what works for you. Well, there is my low EMF computing setup. It is admittedly very strange. I hope none of you are sensitive to your devices because, as you can see, it is massively inconvenient, bordering on debilitating, especially when you work with computers most of the day. Still, the effort and extra expense has paid off big for me, and that's why I wanted to share it with you. If you're one of the many people with a mysterious chronic illness, it may be worth experimenting to see if EMFs are contributing to your symptoms. If you are sensitive to EMFs, I hope this gives you some ideas for how you can be productive and feel better when working with technology. We have a Patreon promotion going on in May. Join the True Fan level at $9 a month and get everything that you would normally get for $15 a month, including early access to episodes, masterclass recordings with guests such as Noah Kagan, Q&A episodes, and recordings of my monthly income reports, all delivered to your personal private RSS feed, which you can easily copy and paste into your favorite podcast app. I want to thank the listeners who have already joined the True Fan level so far. Thank you to MV Braverman, Joyce Ling, Eliezer Shore, Dominique Harmon, Letitia, Wotar, Barry McAuliffe, and Caleb. You are true fans. I appreciate it so much. If you would like to join us, go to patreon.com/Kadavy and check out the True Fan level. This level is offered only in May, so do it now and lock in that $9 a month price. That's patreon.com/Kadavy. The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Kadavy, Inc.